Levin Mishnah 10, Madlikin Shemin Sreifa Bata Knesiosa. Shemin Sreifa is truma oil that became unclean, became impure. It was touched by a source of impurity, and you can't now use it for any other purpose. It's got to be burnt, but when you burn it, you're allowed to burn it in a useful way, right? So they're allowed to light it and, you know, create light with it, etc. So this Shemin Sreifa, you can light it, this oil that's got to be burnt up, the truma oil that has to be burnt up. Says the Mishnah, you can light it, bebata knesiot, in the synagogues, bebata midrashot, in the houses of study, mavos, in dark alleyways, hafelin, valgabe hacholin, and also for the sick, berishus hakoin, with the permission of the priest. So there's two ways of interpreting this Mishnah and what it means with the permission of the priest. Some say that this shemen sreifa, this oil that needs to be burnt up, according to Torah law, actually even a non-priest could get benefit from it. The only Torah prohibition was for a non-priest is to eat, drink, or anoint with truma product. But getting some other benefit from truma products, actually, according to Torah law, they were allowed to. It was the rabbis that came along and forbade them from doing that. So if it's only rabbinical, then in a case where it's for the public use, in a synagogue, a house of study, a dark alley, the rabbis allowed that. And there doesn't even have to be a kohen present. Even if there was no kohen in shul, and the only oil they had, let's say, was this shemen sreifa, and they wanted to light it and light up the shul, so for public benefit, they could do that without a kohen being present. According to other opinions, no, a non-kohen getting benefit from truma is also forbidden according to Torah law. And therefore, in order for all of these cases to occur, there has to be at least one kohen present. And if there's one kohen present in the shul, then you can light it up for him, and then everybody can get benefit. Once it's a light, you can give it. So it depends on how you learn the prohibition, whether it's a Torah law or a rabbinical law, it will come out whether you need a kohen there or not, whether in the shul, or whether you can light it without it. In all of the cases where it's for a sick person, there you definitely need a kohen present. So the argument is this term, b'shus ha-kohen, going on just the sick person, or is it going on the whole first part of the Mishnah? Okay, Bas Yisrael shenisais l'kohen, daughter, a non-kohen, who gets married to a kohen. Right, a Yisrael woman gets married to a kohen, so then we know she's allowed to eat truma. Once she marries the kohen, she's allowed to eat truma. V'hi l'muda eitzel avia, but this woman frequents her father's house often. Then avia madlik b'shusa, so her father can light truma. If he's got truma oil over there, shemen sreifa, he can light it for her because she's allowed to get benefit from the oil. Madlikin b'beis hamishte, and also we can light truma, shemen sreifa, in a house, a festival house, like a house where there's feasting going on. Avlobeis ha'avel, but not in a house of a mourner, divrei Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda. So according to him, if you light it in a house of where there's a feast, so people avoid moving around oil lamps where they're dressed all smartly, etc. They're going to worry that they're going to spill it upon themselves. And we're not worried that they'll move it from where you light it into a room where there's no kohen. Right, and it's not allowed to be in that room. It'll be left in a room where there's a kohen present. But in a house of mourning, according to him, it's people already dressed. You know, they're not dressed up, though, and they don't mind messing themselves. So they might move it. They might pick it up, and they might move it to a place where there's a non-kohen. So that's according to him why you would be allowed to light it in a house where there's feasting going on, but not in a house where there is mourning going on. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he disagrees. He says, Beveis ha'avel, in a house of an avel, Aval lo beveis hamishta, exactly the reverse opinion. He says you're allowed to light it in the house of an oval and not in the house of a feast. And why? Because he says in the house of an oval, they're already, like, everybody's sad and down and nobody's moving around lamps. But in the house of a where there's festivities going on, so people are a bit rowdy, right? Mm. They're getting a bit shaken up and they're a bit out of hand. So they might come to pick up the lamp and move it, a different line of thinking. They might come to pick up the lamp and move it to a place where there's no kohanim, and that would be forbidden. Rabbi Meir, third opinion, Oiser Kan V'Kan, he takes the strict opinions on both, and he forbids the lamp from being lit in either a house of feasting or a house of mourning. And Rabbi Shimon Matir Kanvakan, he takes a lenient opinion in both places. He applies both reasons leniently, and he lets you have a lamp in both a house of mourning and both a house of festivities. So Gaati brings over here at the end that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. Right, so you would be allowed to have it in both cases. Hadran Alecha Meseches Trumas.